Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days. Jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. Especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Happy Paul Pierce Day. Paul Pierce surprised us by coming back to Boston to sign a contract and then retire a Boston Celtic officially. We will be talking about that. John Corrales, Jay King, the Rain and Jays back together, and also a little bit of Summer League. Summer League is officially ending as of right now, so we'll wrap that up a little bit. But let's just get to Paul Pierce, because Pierce, I was surprised by this. Like 5 p.m. all of a sudden I saw the text alert from the Celtics. He's back. It's like, oh shit, Paul Pierce is back. Today's show brought to you, by the way, by Boston Paintball. Boston Paintball, in business for about 25 years, in the shadow of the old Boston Garden. We'll give you a deal from them coming up. But Jay, this was a nice moment.
Yeah, Paul Pierce, it was just cool. I thought it was really cool that he wanted to retire with the Celtics. This was something he really pushed for. And then just to see him out there on the Celtics practice floor shooting a few jumpers again, wearing his old kicks, with which Johnny Joe, the Celtics equipment manager, has held on to and kept in Boston and kept in Waltham at their practice facility just in case Paul Pierce came back. Like it's just a really cool story about a guy who was with the Celtics for 15 years and really proved his worth on the court, but also, like, there's so much respect for Paul Pierce from all the guys who work for the team, whether it's in the front office, whether it's Johnny Joe, who's one of Pierce's good friends, the equipment manager, whether it's, you know, the guys who are the ball boys. Everybody seems to really have a lot of respect for Paul Pierce. So it's cool when a guy who kind of does it right and grows up and matures all the way gets to sign with the team that he considers his own and go out on his terms with a one-day contract to finally retire with the Celtics. Just a cool thing that doesn't really mean much, except it's cool.
I bet that's really what it boils down to, right? It's a cool thing for the Celtics to do and for Paul Pierce to do. I know people on the radio who I don't even want to get into with their terrible takes, but this is just a cool thing. This is a cool thing for Paul Pierce to come back. We knew when he was traded that needed to happen, and that trade is still paying dividends. No one is upset about that trade. Pierce isn't. The fans aren't. Nobody's upset. Pierce went and tried to do his thing, you know, Brooklyn, Washington, the Clippers, and now his career is over. And it's just really nice to see him out there wearing green, holding up that 34, and just for one more day, just taking to that practice floor. He's had his moment. He's had that return with the video. He had the return with the Clippers that last game, that three-point shot. It's just perfect. This is a very nice way to end the career.
And I will say there was one imperfection, and this is going to be a little nitpicking, a little hot take here.
Ooh.
the jersey had the GE logo on it.
I know.
And I know moving forward, like, they have the GE logo on their jerseys, whatever. But Paul Pierce never had a GE logo on his jersey. Like, just for one player, for one person, for a guy who spent 15 years with the team long before they were sponsored with the GE, just leave the logo off. Leave the goddamn sponsors out of it for once, man. Just give him his old jersey, please. That bothered me more than it should have.
I know. Look, and a lot of people said that, but sometimes – like, that's just, I guess, it is what it is. Like, that's the jersey now. He signed, he came back, and he signed with this current Celtics team. And this current Celtics team has the GE logo on it. Whether you like it or not, sponsors are part of basketball. They're coming, just like they're part of this podcast, like Boston Paintball.
Boom.
Boston Paintball, this has to happen. Things like me talking about Boston Paintball have to happen. Because, you know, that's how we get paid. And Boston Paintball, I would go there if they didn't pay us to say these words, because that's how cool they are. Boston Paintball is a place to go with your family, your friends, your groups, everybody. You can take kids as young as 8. They will go and play this thing called Splatmaster. You can take a classic low-impact paintball for kids over 10. And then you could go private group play for everybody else. Bachelor parties. I know, our friend Brian Robb from Celtics Hub got married. I don't know what he did for his bachelor party, but he could have taken the group down to Boston Paintball and gone to any one of 3 different locations to have a great time. Indoor night play at Chelsea, outdoor competition in Woods Ball Fields in Maynard, and the 23-building apocalyptic cityscape in Ashland with the hospital, airplane, and Army Deuce. Get out there and get playing. You got to go to bostonpaintball.com to make your reservation online and get a video tour of each of those 3 facilities so you can know which one to play first. You're going to play all 3, but you got to figure out which one to play first. Remember, these guys got started on Causeway Street in the shadow of the old Boston Garden. That elevated T ran past the garden and the Boston Paintball. So they've been around for a while. They're season ticket holders. They're Celtics fans. They are enjoying today's Paul Pierce retirement as much as we are. So if you're looking for a good time, go support a local business. Go support Celtics fans who are running this local business. And go to bostonpaintball.com to make your reservation online. And when you're there, use the coupon code GREEN while you're booking. You're going to get $50 off a group package. Bostonpaintball.com, coupon code GREEN. You'll get $50 off a group package. Now, I know that people are a little bit more forgiving of me reading that, and as opposed to the GE logo on the jersey. I saw it on his Instagram, and I was like, I had that twinge. I definitely had that twinge. But I don't know. It is what it is. It is what it is, I guess. You got to overlook one thing.
And I've always been a guy who was like, yeah, they should put logos on the jerseys. It makes sense. Why not get free money? Like, really, that's all it is free money. But in this one circumstance, it bothered me a little bit. Anyway, where is Paul Pierce on your list of best Celtics ever?
All right. The best Celtics ever so Bill Russell is obviously at the top, along with Larry Bird and Havlicek. And then I'm going to put Pierce 4.
4?
I think I'm putting Pierce 4th. I mean, he's the 2nd all-time leading scorer. For the team, I mean, he's the leader in 3-point field goals. He's, he's got a lot of things where he leads the team or is at the top or near the top. So he's done enough to be in the top 5. So it's basically Bird and Russell are cemented at the top 2. I'm going to say Havlicek because for some reason he still gets underrated. I'll put Havlicek because he's the leader in like almost everything. And then I'll put Pierce behind him there. At 4.
All right. Yeah.
What about you?
Not, I'm not sure if he'd be on the Mount Rushmore. I don't know if he'd be in my top four. I think, obviously, like, you look at guys like Dave Cowens, even Heinsohn. You look at Pierce is there. There's just so, Kevin McHale. Like, there are a lot of guys that are in Cousy. That conversation.
There are a lot of guys.
I think it's like, to me, it's like Russell, Bird, and then just kind of like the rest of those guys are all kind of in the same conversation.
Sure.
I think Havlicek is probably maybe a tier above. And then Pierce was just great. And he was great for so long. And he probably didn't get enough credit because a lot of his teams were just really bad teams. And through no fault of his own, he just didn't really have anybody except Antoine Walker to go alongside him. And Antoine Walker was never at all a great player. So I think to an extent, Pierce's career gets underrated, even though he was so damn good for a long time. And then it finally took until Kevin Garnett got there and Ray Allen got there for everyone to realize, like, damn, Paul Pierce, not only is he really damn good, but he's really damn good in a way that can win you a championship if you have the right pieces around him. And, you know, he won the finals MVP. He was always so good in clutch moments because he had such a complete game. And that's what, to me, separates, like, the guys who can do it deep in the playoffs from the guys who just can't get it done at that top level, is they have no holes. Like, no matter how you defended Paul Pierce, he had a counter to it. If you took away his left hand, fine, right. If you took away his jab step, then he'd go by you. If you took away one thing, it just he flowed into the next. And there was always, like, he was always comfortable with whatever you made him do because, like, that was he could do anything. And that to me separates him from a lot of the players who even were in his era. And he just had a great career. I enjoyed as a fan when I was a fan growing up and kind of growing up with him and seeing him mature and seeing him grow into more and more responsibilities. And it just a cool thing to see how he has embraced Boston and Boston continues to embrace him and how much the Celtics mean to him, to a kid from LA who really never probably anticipated having any love at all for the city of Boston. To have all this happen to him is just like, I keep saying the word cool, but that's just what it is, man.
It really is cool. It really is. And everything you said, it's perfect. It's perfect for a kid from Inglewood to just be so beloved in Boston and to come back. And look, he could have gone out in LA. He could have had this kind of, you know, I'm from LA, I'm going to retire in LA, kind of makes sense. I wouldn't have held that against him, but for him to come back to Boston and do this, it is really cool. Pierce finishes his career 15th on the all-time scoring list, all-time, above Havlicek all-time by 2 points. Overall,
that's incredible. That is incredible.
2 points. He's got two more buckets. I mean, one more bucket than Havlicek, which is nuts. More than Kevin Garnett, Alex English, Reggie Miller, Jerry West. I mean, this is a big time list of scorers down there. The next active guy is Vince Carter, who won't catch him, and Carmelo Anthony could. He's at 24,156. He's got 2,200 points. So Carmelo Anthony will pass Paul Pierce at some point. Then Wade is the next active guy who won't. Joe Johnson, Pau Gasol. I mean, there are – Durant is the next guy who's eventually going to catch Paul Pierce. Johnson is 6,000 points away. He might. I don't think he will. So that's how dominant Paul Pierce was scoring the ball. And as Tommy Heinsohn would say, he says Pierce is the best pure scorer in Celtics history, which I know when he says that, he means that Pierce can score in so many different ways. Pierce at his best would slash, would step back. His offensive arsenal was just insane. Maybe that kind of overlooks how crazy a scorer Larry Bird was, but it regardless of where you put those two guys, to have a guy like Tommy Heinsohn say that of Paul Pierce just goes to show what Paul Pierce really, really did. As far as Celtics, where he is on the Celtics lists, second all-time scoring behind Havlicek with 24,000 points in a Celtics uniform. Let's see. He's fifth in player efficiency rating. He is second in these advanced stats, like second in offensive win share, second in value over replacement player. He's had a pretty dominant career. Larry Bird in this value over replacement player is way ahead. Then Pierce is way ahead of Parrish and McHale, who are behind him. So if you start to really break down the numbers, Paul Pierce is, to me, within the top five in Celtics all-time history. That Mount Rushmore conversation is really interesting. I think I put him on my Mount Rushmore in Celtics history, but I can also see why you wouldn't.
Yeah, to me, like, the argument is, did he has better stats than a lot of these guys? Is it because he didn't play on as good teams? And I don't think the fact that he didn't play on as good teams was due to any fault of his own. But it's still like if you're playing with other great players, your stats just aren't going to be there. So either way, like, you can put him on there, you cannot put him on there. I'm not going to really argue heavily either way. There are so many great players, but just for him to even get into that conversation and force himself into that conversation, the guy just had an amazing career, and he did it for so long, and he was just very good till the end of his Celtics career.
Yeah. Yep. It was. He went out with a lot more basketball left. It's a shame that he had to go, but really, you look at this current Celtics roster, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and, you know, Isaiah Thomas, those are all products one way or the other of the Paul Pierce trade.
Basically, the whole roster came from that trade, because without Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford's not coming. And without Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford, Gordon Hayward's not coming. So, like, basically every single piece on the whole roster is there because of that one trade that Paul Pierce, and obviously the Celtics have made other moves. Like, Isaiah Thomas wasn't directly from that trade, and Jaylen Brown, obviously, he was drafted years later, but because of that trade. But yeah, Paul Pierce, like, just left behind the seeds for the Celtics to grow another great team. And
amazing.
He tweeted something about it, right, when they won the number one pick this year?
Yeah.
Like I'm going out. I left one hell of a parting gift, guys.
Yeah. I guess now the question is, what does Paul Pierce do now?
I bet TV.
Yeah.
It's got to be TV. He was really good on TV. That was what he turned to, like, as soon as the Clippers were out of the playoffs. So I think he's a pretty natural on TV. He'll say anything, which is good, and in a good way, like not an "I'll say shit I don't mean" type of way. But if I have opinions, I'm going to voice them, and I'm going to be strong about them. Like, he's just Paul Pierce. He's been shit talking people his whole life, so he just goes out there and says what he means and says what he feels and doesn't care who he offends. And I think it's going to make him a really, really good analyst on TV.
Yeah, I could totally see that. And yeah, who knows? Maybe he comes back and works in the Celtics front office in some capacity. I mean, maybe he could do both. There's no reason why he can't do both. He can't, if he was splitting his time between New York and Boston, he could easily do that. I don't know where he's going to finally settle down. If he's just going to go back to LA and chill at his Malibu home next door to Kevin Garnett and have KG come over and they could just have profane memory lane sessions while on his little basketball court, which Paul Pierce's house, having seen that from the Players Tribune videos, is just amazing. The fact that he's got a little half court all done up in Celtics and that KG just drops by is just insane to me. I love it.
Pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome. All right. Well, wherever that goes, at some point we'll figure out what Paul Pierce is doing with the rest of his career. In the meantime, the guys that are vying to be the next Paul Pierce, a.k.a. Jason Tatum, among others.
A.k.a. Young Honesty.
Young Honesty, that's right. That's got legs. That one's got legs.
Young Honesty.
That could work. Young Honesty was the all-NBA Summer League second team. Probably because he missed like half of the summer league. But here is the all summer league first team, second team: Lonzo Ball, John Collins from Atlanta, Josh Jackson from Phoenix, Dennis Smith Jr. From Dallas, and Caleb Swanigan from Portland. That's your first team with Lonzo Ball as the Summer League MVP, which is, you know, amazing considering that he had a very slow start.
Yeah, he was butt cheeks that first game.
Can I tell you, though, his passing is out of this world.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
He sees things that you just – he sees them, and he sees them so quickly, and he gets the ball exactly where it needs to be. It's just whatever. I know he's got a lot of things to work on, and there are some questions about other aspects of his offensive game, but that passing, he immediately is one of the best passers in the NBA.
This draft was loaded, man. It was loaded. Those guys are all fun to watch.
And then Tatum makes the second team, which, you know, whatever. That's fine.
He's a bust.
He's a bum. He sucks. Trade the bum.
Danny screwed up.
Fire he never, Danny.
Never should have traded the top pick.
Hey, by the way, Markelle Fultz not on in there. Not in there at all. He sprained his ankle after one game. So,
yeah.
But hey, all I see is no Markelle Fultz. Ainge's a genius. He's a freaking genius, this guy. Whatever. Tatum's got some work to do. He said afterwards that he knows he's got to get stronger, which I think obviously is the big thing that he needs to do. Get some weight, get some strength in that base so he can hold his position. If he wants to play that mid-range game, that's fine. There's room for that.
What's interesting is he said he got hurt at the beginning of his freshman year at Duke because he put 20 pounds on in the span of like 2 or 3 weeks. Or whatever it was, he put 20 pounds on very quickly and then hurt himself. So be gradual, Jason. Like, you've got plenty of time. You've got a whole career to put on weight, man. Like, you're going to be okay. Just eat well, lift. It's going to be okay. Going to be all right. Like, don't put it all on at once. Don't get too blocky.
Don't get too blocky. He's like one of those. He's what, 19 years old. This kid could go out and eat 10,000 calories. And still be fine. Like,
I'm jealous, man. I'm jealous. I used to be like that too, but
yeah, those days go by fast.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I miss those days when I was playing in college. You come back and you just crush a whole large pizza, and it didn't even matter. Now I have two slices. I'm like, oh, I feel so gross.
See, now I still crush the whole large pizza, and then just doesn't turn out as well as it used to.
I'm a little bit ahead of that game. I'm ahead of you in this race to whatever this is we're racing to.
There you go.
I don't know. It's not a place I want to be ahead of you. I really don't. You sit there like reevaluating, like sitting there trying to get a salad on a Sunday instead of a piece of pizza. But that's a whole other story. Jason Tatum, go eat what you want and put on the weight. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine.
Can we talk about, while we're on the topic of gaining weight and stuff, Celtics – parting ways with Brian Due and Ed Lassert?
Yeah, I was actually thinking about bringing that up. You know, it's interesting because you start to hear on the surface, you're like, wow, that's crazy. And then you start to hear like they wanted Brian Due to have like an altered role. And so I don't know what that was or what they were talking about with Ed Lassert, but they're going a completely different direction. They're taking the sports science thing and completely running with it and revamping how they must be revamping their whole approach, which it's interesting. And the casualties are very unfortunate because Ed Lassert's been there for 30 goddamn years. Brian Due's been there for what? 10,
I mean, 14 seasons,
14. I mean, that's nuts. I mean, they're integral parts of this franchise, but the Celtics are moving in a different direction. This sports science thing is like the next wave. You know how analytics a few years ago became this big monster, like, oh my God, everything's analytics, analytics, analytics. The past couple of years, we've seen with all the people resting and the controversy behind that, sports science is the next big frontier where people need to kind of understand the human body and the toll and how do you prepare for that and when do you sleep and how long do you sleep and where do you sleep, and it's just all very, very intricate and scientific. It's wild.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who they hire. because, like you said, Ed Lassert, Brian Dew, those guys have been there for a long time, and they've been very respected for a long time. Like, Ed Lassert, like, he's in the New England Trainer Hall of Fame. Like, I think he's in some kind of Hall of Fame. I remember writing about him being in a Hall of Fame. Like, he's a guy that players really enjoy. And Brian Dew, same thing. Like, just a very energetic, very motivated, like, guy who just brings enthusiasm and energy and kind of lifts everybody up around him. And so they're losing two good people. It'll be interesting to see who they hire, what type of pedigree these people have. And it seems like they're trying to get more cutting edge with things. And, you know, they were near the top of the league in games missed last year, and value at least of the players missed. Like, Isaiah Thomas missed some time, and Al Horford missed some time, and Avery Bradley missed 20-something games, and Jay Crowder missed a while. So who knows? We'll see what type of impact it has, what type of people they bring in. But shout out to Brian Dew and Ed Lassert, who both had great runs at Boston.
Yeah, from the Herald on Sunday, it was, let's see, Mark Murphy who wrote the piece. He said, let's see, the Celtics are about to move into a new training facility in Brighton with the targeted opening of June 2018. Have already expanded their operation in that regard. Johan Billsborough was added to the staff 2 years ago as the team's director of sports science after beginning his career working with rugby and Aussie rules football in his native Australia. Several teams have gone in this direction, including the 76ers, who have entrusted their entire fitness and training operation to David Martin, a product of Australia's acclaimed Institute of Sports Science. So, big Australian connection to this. And we'll see how that works out. Like I said, sports science, and I know that at there was a big sports science conference. There's a lot of innovation to be made here. There's a lot that we don't understand. And I know a lot of people listening and people who follow us on Twitter, there's a lot of that attitude, like, they can play, they're athletes, they're young, they're in top shape, just keep pushing them and pushing them and pushing them. But the fact is, the human body can only take so much before it starts to break down. And it's like little things that lead to the bigger things, the little stress reactions, the little micro tears in ligaments that end up becoming either strains or outright tears or little cartilage or different things like that, that if you can understand how the body works and how individual bodies work differently, you can start preventing that stuff. The overuse injuries, those are the biggest problems. You can start avoiding strains and sprains and things like that. And if you sit guys out a couple of games here and there, you actually prevent them from missing 10, 12, 15 games. So, you know, it sucks. I don't know. I don't know what the entire story is behind Lassert and Dew and what they were asked to do. I don't know what it is. It sucks that they're gone. But this is going to be like revolutionary new stuff. We're going to be hearing a lot about this stuff in the coming years.
Revolution. The revolution is here.
Yeah. So is this podcast, but it's done now. So we're going to wrap things up by asking you to subscribe to us wherever you find your podcast. Also on Spotify. Look, if you're out there working out, getting your Spotify playlist, we're on Spotify now. So just get us there if you want. Or we're on iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcast. We exist in those spaces. If we don't, tell us. We'll make sure we do exist in those spaces. Rate us 5 stars. Give us a good review. Let the people know what they are missing. Let people understand exactly the greatness that exists and they are not partaking in. So do that. And until next time, this is the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.